Jason Pollard to get your advertising money. Yeah. Hey, I mean, who else is making videos for 2 hours? I don't know who else is doing it. If you guys want to come on the air, press 1. 630, you're live on the air.
Hey, Steve, yeah. So, did you catch the first part of it?
I did not, no.
Okay, so I'll start over. So we all understand the supply and demand concept, right?
Yeah.
Not enough loads, the price drops. I understand that. And the lowest person that accepts that gets the load, right?
Okay. Yeah.
Now when the 7-day average is $1.40 on a load and the broker is offering it at 75 cents, okay, pretty much 50% of the 7-day average, right? And the carrier wants to go up more. He wants the 7-day average, which is $1.40. But the broker insists there's no money in it. He's only offering 75 cents. There's no money in it. And then a few days later, that price goes up. And a few days later, it goes up until that load gets booked. So what I'm trying to understand from a carrier point is, do you guys have a lot of time on that load, like 3-4 days before it has to move?
Sometimes. It depends. It depends who the customer is. Sometimes.
So I'm just trying to understand, like, why does the rate go up at all? Or, you know what I mean? I'm trying to understand, when is the best time to book that load? Is it at 75 cents or 90
it,
cents?
Late? No. Late in the afternoon. I mean, unfortunately, unless the broker tells you how soon he needs to get it out, the best time to book freight is in the afternoon, because then as a broker, we're under more pressure to cover the load. So therefore, we offer more money, or we're a little bit more forgiving in the rate.
Okay. So if this is Coyote Logistics, by the way, and they would not budge off of the 75 cents. And I'm just trying to understand why. Why?
I don't know. It's not me, so I can't speculate on that. Maybe it's because they quoted their customer. And their customer is, you know, maybe they quoted their customer a week ago and they're a crappy broker and don't know how to properly quote to adjust for inflation. That's the only thing I can say. Maybe they just, maybe they don't know what they're doing. So maybe they quoted the last week's rates and didn't plan for inflation a week later. Because that happens too. Sometimes a customer will call us and say, "Hey, I got a load ready today," and then we'll quote him, and he's like, "All right, yeah, it'll be ready next Wednesday." That happens as well. And then normally, as a good broker, you would go, "Well, that rate's not going to stick next Wednesday." At this point, my rate is only good for 24 hours because the market is changing too much. So, you know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
I can't speak for other brokers. I mean, it wouldn't be right for me to do it. It's like I can't speak for other carriers. You know, I just can't do it. I'm not gonna speculate why someone else does something. It wouldn't be right for me to do it. You know, it could go in a number of effects. But thank you for calling, bro.
Anytime. Thanks for answering.
Yeah. Someone said Charles is calling in, but I think they have your area code wrong because I don't see the area code. Charles said, "I deserve some props." You know how hard it is? Think about this, how hard it is to talk for 2 hours while drinking whiskey. That's the hard part. I'm drinking water now because I'm like, oh, crap. To me, this is education. I can't call out, Charles. You got to call. If you call in right now, here, David, please don't share my number, guys. But I just sent it to Quacklebaum. Quacklebaum will send it to you. Please don't share my number. That's the only thing I ask. I don't want a bunch of spam calls and idiots calling. But I just sent it my cell phone number to David Quacklebaum. Charles, if you want to come in, I'm happy to call. I don't see a call from you on hold. But I like making these videos to talk about the industry. You know what I mean? That's what I really like. Because I like, even if even if people don't agree with me, they're listening. That's the only thing that matters to me. They're listening, you know? I'll wait for Charles to call in. I know a bunch of you guys are on hold, and I apologize, but I want to hear him. Everyone talked up his call and said he's going to yell at me. I don't think he can yell at me because I've watched his videos. I don't think we have a lot to disagree on. I know a lot of people are pissed that I said, you know, I don't support, you know, the movement now in D.C., but unfortunately that is what it is. So Curtis Callahan said, why wouldn't anyone agree with you? I don't know. I have no idea. Justin Schribner said, I put Steve's number on the truck stop basketball. You're here? I don't see a 224 number. Oh, I got you now. Okay. David, never mind. Hey, what's up, Charles? You're on the line. What's up?
How's it going, Steve?
What's up, buddy?
Well, listen, we're going to have a gentleman's discussion here because I've been watching
for sure.
A little bit. Sometimes I get a little confused on where you stand, and I understand you're vested in the industry because this industry is how you prosper. This industry pays your bills and takes care of your family, right? So let's look at the past three decades in trucking, okay?
Okay.
I've been out here 30 years, 3.4 million accident-free, ticket-free miles. I've been to D.C. more than a dozen times. I've written letters. I've made the emails. I've done all that, okay? So I speak from a perspective where when you say what they did today, now I want you to keep that in your mind. When you said what they did today, you had a problem with.
Yeah.
I want you to look at it from this perspective. I want you to try really hard, okay? So they go back to D.C. from way back. Let's talk about before the ELD regulation was placed into place and MAP 21 was on the scene. Guys like you weren't really paying attention to stuff like that at that point. You were probably just a driver, right? You were driving a truck. You were trying to get your feet wet out here. During that time frame, you had no idea any of this stuff was going on.
Well, I had a fleet of trucks. At that point, I had 22 trucks. But, yeah, go ahead.
So you were extremely busy trying to manage your business and not too worried about the reality of an electronic log being placed in a truck. I get it. Okay, so let's fast forward.
Oh, in 2017 when logs went into place, yeah. I hate e-logs, but go ahead.
We know that the e-log isn't the problem. It's the hours of service that are a problem. A device doesn't manipulate your day. It's the hours of service. I'm going to get to this, and you're going to agree or disagree, but I think you're going to agree. So we fast forward to last week. I had no idea. First of all, Rick Santiago does not represent me or speak for me. Let me be extremely clear on that. I went down there because there were men and women down there that were trying desperately to have their voices heard. He bailed, left everybody there. The place isn't, you know, they're trying to do the best they can do. I went down there just to be part of something that I thought could be really good. The 5 days I was there, Steve, come on. Let's not compare the whole week to one day. And I'm gonna back you up on something, so don't be quick to jump because I'm gonna agree with you. All right. So a whole week goes by. They've done everything they can do. They've tried holding their signs. They've walked over to the Capitol, to the Senate offices. Everything's closed. Corona's got the country in the toilet. The economy's tanked. Nobody's working. 25% of the American population is unemployed. Nothing's being manufactured. People are pissed.
Right.
The problem is our industry sometimes forget this problem affects every single person in this country right now. Everybody is trying to feed their families. Everybody is starving.
Right.
The problem I have with what happened today is Mark Meadows came out there. Mark Meadows came out there to placate the drivers. You know, it's pretty simple. This guy has served on the transportation committee. He speaks their language. Other reporters had come out and said it too. They said he was sent out there because it's goodbye, boys. This is over. Can't have this. The president came out and supported you, said attaboy. They now have a PR nightmare, okay, on their hands because things aren't going exactly the way the press and the White House would want them to go out on the street. It reflects poorly on his statements, right? So I'm going to give you that. But here's where the rub is. They've been doing this and trying to do it the right way for over a decade. These people, when Mark Meadows points and says, march over to Capitol Hill, tell me one time that an elected representative on that hill heard the pleas of these drivers, saw them, really saw them, and right. understand there are people out there that have good ideas, Steve. They don't sit behind a desk. They drive a truck. They see the devastation. They see the accident.
Keep in mind,
the problem.
I went up there. I went up there. I was up there, and I talked to all those drivers, the original drivers that were up there. So, yeah, I talked to all of them at that point.
I just want to know, and I got to ask. I got to ask, and yeah. I got a gentleman's discussion.
Yeah.
How can you not support people like me and other people that try to do it right and we make sense and we have a logical argument for what we're fighting for? How can you not stand behind those type of people?
Well, in all reality, I supported them up until I saw that they essentially used someone else's rally to try to further their own message. I've never been a big fan of that. You know what I mean? And I'm not a fan of slow rolls. I know a lot of people disagree with me. I'm not a fan of slow rolls. I'm not a fan with, you know, people that block transit ways and things. Maybe it's just the, you know, the old first responder in me that I just don't like it. I don't think it's productive. I don't think it helps. And I think that the fact is that, yeah, there are truckers that drove from 1,000 miles and all that stuff, or even there are truckers from California that came. There are a lot of people that, you know, in terms of the bus providers that came and the bus operators and the independent operators that came, they came with a one day, they came to come in and then leave. That was the plan for them. And those guys felt betrayed because they also supported the industry previous too. And so that's why I say I don't support that kind of stuff. I never have. I don't support slow rolls. What the hell? I put 2 hours on this call. But yeah, I don't know why this is doing 90 seconds. I thought I put 2 hours on the call. I don't support those, and that's why it ruined the taste in my mouth for this event. Does that make sense?
Everybody has a right to be heard. Everybody should be heard. Everybody has a right to have their voice heard. They absolutely positively have a right to be heard. And it would have been nice if there could have been a little cooperation between the two groups. That would have been wonderful. But I never heard anybody say, hey, you know, we're coming down there. Can you guys give us a little room? Can we work with you? Can we help draw media attention? Here's the problem we now face. No matter – it's optics, right? It's all about optics. It's all about what happened on the street today. But what people aren't taking right. into consideration, that's why I'm saying I've been respectful to you. Now I want you to look at it from this point of view. When you've exhausted all other avenues, there comes a point where a little disobedience and a little civil disobedience, we didn't get to where we are in this country without people
right.
making some sacrifices and making a little noise and inconveniencing people. That's how – civil rights, that's how everything that's ever happened, it's happened because of a little civil disobedience. So what they did today,
yeah.
they did what they felt they had to do. I'm gonna respect that, and I'm gonna say they did what they needed to do. But you can't take a whole
yeah.
13 days and throw it away because they don't think they're being heard, they don't think they're being seen, and they did what they had to do.
For me personally, I just disagree with it. You know what I mean? And that's just my opinion. You know, it doesn't change. I understand they've been there for 13 days. You know what I mean? The problem is that when you have people call in and say, hey, guess what? It didn't happen. They didn't shut down the roads. You know that just as well as I do by watching the videos. That is misinformation. To call someone else's broadcast when they talk about it, it's fake. You know, it doesn't make any sense. You know,
sense. You got a video. You're showing a video. I don't know how people could say it didn't happen because I watched the same video you did. So,
yeah, I don't get that. And I respect everyone's choice to stand up and I guess protest for what they believe in. And to be honest, those guys have been there for 13 days and no one listened. But I just. It's just not something I align myself with. You know what I mean? It's not a good representation of the industry in my own personal belief. And that's why I say, you know, I can't back it anymore. And I've been talking to those guys since the very beginning.
Right, right. Okay, so let's say this. Again, we're having a rational conversation here, and you're being a gentleman. So let's say this. What would you do right now? Let's say that had never happened. They're not getting a response. First of all, we know Mark Meadows coming out there. We know the real reason he came out there was to say goodbye.
Right.
This has gone on long enough. We'll get back to you in 4 to 6 weeks. That was his goal.
Yeah.
The White House sent him out there to save. It was a PR nightmare for them. Okay.
Right.
So you and I know that.
Yeah.
People that know. All right. So what would you have done? Just put yourself in there. I just want you to play devil's advocate. What would you have done if you were in their shoes? You'd spent 13 days there and nothing was moving. And you were desperate. You were in a corner.
Well, I would have pushed for a solution, a financial solution from the very beginning. It's what I've been talking about the entire time.
Don't compare you to them. I want you to put yourself in one of those driver's shoes. You know, the guys you're talking about.
I can't. I wouldn't have been there. At this point, it's futile. They already messed up. The leadership of this group, and as you already said, the leadership is fragmented. There is no leader. You didn't say that. I apologize. Lana said that. There is no leader of this group. There is no protest. Everyone had their own agendas. I was there on the second day or third day of this protest. I can honestly say with 100% certainty there was no uniformity amongst that group at all. Everybody had a different focus. Nobody went there and said – look at the press release that came out. I think I was the only person to publish a press release that was put out by Sean McIntosh. I was the only person to publish that in its entirety. And I got hammered for it by truckers for saying, why would you publish that? It makes us all look bad, you know, the spelling, grammar, and all that. Nobody actually presented a solution at any point during this whole thing. Until today. Today was the first day I actually heard a solution, other than the TIA actually putting something out the other day. But nobody has had an actual solution. Everyone is pushing for hours of service reform, which is a long time. It takes a long time to push that. It's not, you can't do that in an executive order. They're pushing for broker transparency, which is a long legal battle because the TIA will challenge it. Whether or not I agree, it's the right thing to do. It's just not going to... I mean, does that make sense?
It's a complicated mess, right? This industry is a complicated mess. There are millions of issues, millions of problems, and we've never been able to solve any of them, right? Have we ever been able to solve any of them? So,
no.
I mean, we got to start. So we got to start somewhere, right? We got to start somewhere. But I'm just saying, these men and women. Right. There are people in this industry that shouldn't be here. We know that. There are people that aren't educated about how to run their business. I get that. But the problem I have is when people bash guys that by no fault of their own right now, the rates are what they are, and it is crippling people that do know. So when they call up these brokers and they say, well, what do you need? What do you need to do it? Well, I know I need X, Y, Z. And these brokers are saying, well, this is all we're going to pay. Click. I mean, yeah. You know,
here's an honest question. Here's an honest question, Charles. Do you think in 3 to 4 weeks when rates become manageable, they may not be perfect rates, but they may be profitable rates or close to profitable as possible. Do you think if it keeps going on the same trajectory that it's going now, do you think that those trucks will stay?
No, I don't. And I also believe that we all know this is going to bust open in the third quarter, and capacity is going to – there's going to be a capacity crunch, and we're all going to make folded-up money that we can stuff in our pockets so it's coming out our eyeballs.
Right.
Okay? That's a fact. The problem is when – let's get off the subject of the rates for a minute. When do we fix the other pressing issues that are crippling this
industry? But unfortunately, that's not the issue that's getting the headline.
Well,
I agree with you 100%.
I can say is I've always just spoke my mind, but I believe these people are never going to listen to a word we say. I believe you're right. I believe this is a long legal challenge to challenge this whole broker transparency thing. It should be challenged.
Right.
It needs to be challenged. What they're doing, illegal? No. Immoral, yes. But in my mind, immoral is just as bad to me as illegal. What they're doing to this industry is wrong.
I agree with you.
So,
I agree with you, and that's why I made the decision to change.
You make some valid points about understanding the industry, understanding your numbers. My problem is this industry's been fighting and fighting and fighting, and unfortunately, I believe that Mark Meadows came out there today, and what he did was gave us all the brush off. I know it was nice for the drivers to see somebody from the White House come out there, but we are right back where we started. We're gonna get false promises, brushed off, told to go home. Whether they had done what they did today or not, they were gonna get the same result. Nothing was going to happen. You know it, and I know
it. It bought another 4 or 5 days. That's what it did. It bought it. It's just like the hats. Hats bought it 4 or 5 days, and then he comes on Fox News. That bought
and
4 or 5 days, and that. Yep, and then they come out today, and that's going to buy 4 or 5 days, and then people are going to get pissed off because no one's listening, and then the National Guard's going to move in and remove all of them. that's to
the
be
president,
honest. You know, every single day as media, I send the Park Service a message and say, anything new? And they're like, nope. Because I'm just waiting for one day. They're like, yeah, we're mobilizing. We're getting them out. Because eventually that's what I think is going to happen, especially if they keep publicizing videos that they did today. The videos that, and I'm not talking about them just shutting down the highway, but, you know, Janet had a video that went out after that and said, you know, we're tired. We need to be listened to. We're done playing nice. And then she literally went and yelled at Taurus. She yelled at him and said, you need to be standing up there on the line. That is the representation. And I know that doesn't align with it, but there's no formal leadership in this organization. If you look at the way the motor coach associations did it, they lobbied the government first. They did this as a show of support. They already had they already did the lobbying before they even got there. This was there to garnish media attention, and that's the reason why they were so pissed off. And to be honest, that's the reason why I'm a little pissed off, is that these guys did what they were supposed to. They were planning on this. They pulled permits before anybody arrived in D.C. or anyone even talked about going to D.C. The Motor Coach Association pre-planned this. You know, there's press releases from early April. And they were just discredited almost. You know what I mean? It was and to some of the drivers that commented on my article, they felt like someone else, that it was – a fragment of the industry where truckers said, oh no, we're more important than you. And that's what drivers wrote. That's not me, you know, coming up with that. And then when I directly asked the ABA, the American Bus Association, there was a lot of claims going on today, that the buses were there to support truckers. I asked them if that had anything, and they said they were in no way there they weren't there for the truckers. They were there for their own self-interest because, you know, and they even cited the, you know, major economists that were saying that industry, I don't know what you call it, chauffeur industry, isn't going to recover. It's going to recover in 2021 or further, you know. And so that's kind of the reason why I think
looking at 18 months to 24 months before they can even have a concert venue again, some of these guys with the Prevost buses, because of this disease.
Right.
Those guys that have these buses, they're in just as bad. Again, everybody in America is hurting. We're all hurting. And it's unfortunate.
I take
that
back because someone else just breaking news. Someone else just sent me a message, and I trust him. He said they are already nationalizing the National Guard to remove those trucks. So we'll see if that's true.
I said it in an earlier video.
I don't think those trucks will stay there over the weekend after today. They would have been able to sustain further, but after today, they didn't shed a good light on the industry.
This is unfortunate because there are like people like Lana, okay, her frustration level, you can sense it. She put her heart into making sure she ran around putting out fires and trying to get people to communicate. And everything was going well, Steve. You know, when I left there Saturday night to head back to Indiana to get the truck worked on, everything was good. People were in a good mood. They were working together. They were talking about going up to Capitol Hill. I don't know what happened today. I wasn't there. I can't speak for them. But I feel their frustration after 2 decades of doing what they tried to do. Some of them are very new to this. They're like children learning to walk. They don't know. The president doesn't legislate. He can support us all he wants. He can come out and say, rah, rah, rah. But even funding, even plans to help get us a relief, Congress and the Senate have to sign off on these things. The rules and regulations we're fighting for. Those trucks should have been parked up on Capitol Hill. And if they were dead serious about it, we should have had trucks on up on Capitol Hill. But we
and
lost
Meadows
some opportunities.
And Meadows said that today. He's like, you guys are in the wrong spot. Well, he said that. He said it. You know, if I was in charge of that convoy, I would move all those trucks to Capitol Hill is what I'd do. And if any of them are watching, you guys listen to me when I said everyone needs to hit up Twitter, because that's how the president communicates, is I told Janet through a message, and I have proof of it, and I called her, or I texted her, and I said, you guys need to hit up Twitter. Stop doing all this stuff on Facebook. Hit up Twitter and do it. And I said, do it with one uniform message. And then you may be able to get across to them. And so, and then I looked on Twitter the next day, and it was 50 different variations of, hey, brokers are bad, and they're price gouging. He's a business guy. He's not going to see that in the light. And that all it takes is someone to look at the regs, look at a contract, and be like, this is something that we can't fix immediately. Is it something that I'll probably look at? Maybe. Maybe they made enough of a rift. If they continue, once rates come back and freight rates are good, if this protest or this demonstration continues on, then maybe, and I'm not saying staying in D.C., but if the OIDA and TIA and all these other groups end up continuing this battle as it goes on, maybe something will come of it. But the problem, and it's the same question I asked everybody today, what does freight transparency actually do for you guys right now? Because I already know the answer to it. It does nothing. It does nothing to increase rates right now because it's not providing transparency during the booking process. It's providing transparency after the booking process is complete. So it's I appreciate everything you do, and I appreciate it. You know, I still appreciate those guys. I just, that what I saw today wasn't a good representation of what I want my kids to see, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? I want my kids to work in this industry. I want my kids to, if they decide to go into the broker side of things, I want them to go the same path I did. We're driving a truck first and learning the industry the right way. And being an honest broker, if you can be honest. You know, a lot of people don't think you can, but I want my kids to do it. And that's the reason why I make these videos. And that's the reason why I talk entirely too long in these late night videos.
Well, and I can appreciate it. I can appreciate that. I'm going to stand with my people. I understand, and I'm going to respect your opinion. I'm going to disagree, but I do get your point of view. But they've been doing this a long time with no result. You know, they should have had. You know, I can't explain it, but they should have had answers to these questions long ago, and I think it's just culminated, and they did what they had to do. The sad part is it didn't work because Mark Meadows came out there and just rushed them off. And the sad part is, I don't believe that it's going to amount to much other than some more promises. So
I don't think so.
I feel bad.
Thank you for calling
in,
Charles.
My people. Well, you have a good night, and thank you for the opportunity to have a discussion like adults.
All right, bro. Thanks. All right, I'm going to power through these calls. I am about done. This has been a long night. It's, what am I going on? 2 hours and 30 minutes. So I've got a bunch of calls on hold, and I don't even know if they'll still pick up. Let me see. It'll let me pick them up. 910 number, you're on the air. What's up?
Hey, what's up, man? It's Laszlo, everybody's buddy.
What's up, buddy?
All right, real quick, I do agree with Charles on some things, and of course, you know, I agree with a lot of things that you say as well. One thing I do want to say, and everybody needs to understand this, my knowledge of Steve, he'll give hell to brokers and carriers alike. So he's probably one of the most unbiased individuals that I know of in the media industry right now. You guys may not like him because he was a broker at one time, or he was a driver, whatever, it doesn't matter. Give him a fair credit for what he's doing, okay? Now, when these guys went up there, I have still yet to hear anything. They want to get up there, and they're going to protest for something that cannot be changed. Barr's going to look at it. Mark Meadows came out and even said, these guys are the, how did he put it? They're most disorganized, or they're more disorganized than the Congress is.
Than Congress, yeah.
Than Congress, okay? Now, why not go up there and actually protest for something that can help you guys, okay? You've got your insurance is going through the roof. Your fuel is expensive as hell. Your equipment's expensive as hell. So instead of trying to expect the entire burden of the low rates to be falling on the shoulders of the brokers, why don't you actually go up there and say, hey, let's get a subsidy so we can get some, you know, breaks on equipment, some fuel, and the insurance. Go for the things that you actually might be able to change. Rather than going up there, and I will say it, you guys look like the guys up there protesting, look like a bunch of idiots. You know, they're blocking the roads. Yeah, okay, they came out, and they got lip service because they were tooting their horns, blocking the road. That's all they got. They came out to appease them, and now they want them to go the hell away because they can't act like adults. You know,
yeah.
One guy said he wanted a bailout based on the IFTA. That's just, they're just looking for money. All they sound like is some little money hungry grabbing truckers. Why don't, and that's just a short term fix. How about a long term fix? Come up with an idea.
Well, I mean, you can't do a long-term situation because this thing is likely going to be over. Even though freight volumes aren't going to really peak until November, you know, that's what the major economists are saying. But rates are going to come up, you know what I mean? But I think Spector's plan is good for a back pay solution to some of the issues that carriers have faced in the past.
But trucks do, I mean, and you know what? Everybody's got to accept the fact that trucks are going to have to go out of business. Carriers are going to have to close out the doors. It's just the way it is. You guys, you know, everybody's mentioned it before. Steve has said it before. I've said it. I'll say it again. 2018, your rates jumped through the roof because of the ELD mandate. Hours of service was all the same. But you went out and told all your buddies and everybody came in and bought a damn truck. You did it to yourselves. This is just a cyclical trough, right? You got overcapacity, rates are in the toilet. In a while, your trucker's going to go out. You know what's going to happen? The rate's going to come up. And you know what you guys are going to do? You're going to go out and brag to your buddies about how much money you're making and what's going to happen. They're all going to come in because they want to buy a paycheck. And then the rate's going to plummet. Then you're going to start bitching and moaning and griping to everybody and your uncle about the freaking rates again. And it's all just a cycle. It's happened before. It's happening now. And it's going to happen in the future because Barr's going to come out, and all they said, they will have him look at the regulations. Nothing else. They're going to look at the regulations.
Yeah, there's nothing. And I think that's a little bit of what Claiborne was saying, and I don't want to put words in his mouth, but there's literally nothing
exactly
that can be done
that's
because
right.
because price gouging isn't – in this instance, we're people are booking things at market rate. You know what I mean? So you can't argue price gouging at that point. But I get it. There are, and I'll admit it, there are people that are price gouging. I know that there are freight brokers out there that are taking advantage of the situation. But if you look at the majority, if we look at Q2 earnings for both public and private, I guarantee there's very few companies that generate a profit in Q2. You know what I mean? We see it in Q1. I know all the public companies, and I know one very, very, very big private company, and I know their earnings, and it wasn't what it was supposed to be. And it was namely because of the coronavirus, and that it hadn't even fully hit because that only covers until March 31st. So when you get and you look at Q2 earnings, I think a lot of people will be surprised. But I also think there's going to be a lot of collateral consequences before that happens. Thanks, Laz, for calling. I'm going to wrap this shit up. I'm getting drinking.
Talk to you later, man. Love it.
All right, bro. I just realized as I'm talking, I'm like, I got to wrap this up before it becomes too late. 832 number, you're on the air. What's up, bud? And you guys can't call
hey,
in anymore.
Steve.
The phones are down now. What's up, 832? What's up?
Hey, Steve. I'm very new to the industry. I recently started learning about freight brokering. So I'm still learning the ropes and the industry and just hearing all these things. I'm just kind of amazed of all that's going on right now in the industry. So I just wanted to ask you, man, what would be the best way to get started, you know, brokering freight? What's kind of the best training to do? I kind of work for somebody else.
Go get
work
a job with
else.
A freight broker. Yeah, don't. Okay. We don't need more people that don't understand the industry. This week we had, I think it was 204. We had more applications for new broker authority and carrier authority than we ever have since I've been following this. And we had one of the worst weeks in freight in the past week. So People are still entering the industry, but if you want to hear from an experienced broker and carrier and all that, the best thing you could possibly do would be to go to CDL school and get some time behind the wheel. It'll make you a much more effective freight broker in the long run. And if you can't do that because you have family constraints and all that stuff, then my suggestion is go work for a broker. And if you can't do that, go do something else. To be honest, don't enter the industry if you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, I've been looking at these freight brokers that are interested in signing me up with them as a freight agent to kind of learn the industry and learn how to.
Nope. They're all scams because the only good brokers that'll take you on as an agent require you to have a book of business.
Okay.
Anyone that takes you on without a book of business, they're being shady. That's in all honesty. Like for me to come where I'm an agent for, I needed to have a $1 million book of business. They turned down more brokers than they admit. Yeah. And so I personally possess well over a $1 million book of business, but your best bet would be if you're dead set on being a broker and entering the industry, which it could be lucrative if you do it right, go get training. Just be very weary of the paperwork that they have you sign. There's one big three-letter broker that has some very ruthless paperwork that they make you sign when you first start with them. They have probably the best sales training that you could probably ever get anywhere, and they know that. And so they lock you in for a year and don't allow you to work anywhere else after they fire you. So you have to be very careful.
Cool.
My advice to everyone is it's not bullshit because they're spending the money to train you in the industry. You know what I mean? You're coming in green.
Right, right.
So they're training you how to be an effective salesperson and teaching you the industry. I think it's the same way. I just don't like non-competes and non-disclosures and all that stuff. So I don't practice with that. And I do trainings, or I used to. My suggestion to anyone that's looking to get involved in the industry now is go be a company driver. Learn what it's like to drive, at least, because then you'll be a much more effective freight broker because you can understand distance and the cost to operate and just the general shittiness of being on the road is the easiest way to say it. You know, because I feel like that's what makes me a really good broker is that first I started off in my own truck and then I grew that and I saw and I learned and I did things wrong and I did things right. And I learned that business through and through. And I think that's one of the reasons why, I'm an effective broker. And to be honest, like the way that I'm a volume broker now, I wasn't always that way. I didn't figure it out till 2 years ago, to be honest. And that's when my actual revenue, the amount of money that I made, skyrocketed. Is because I finally figured out, okay, this is how I need to do it. And even though I'm making less profit per load than the other brokers who work the same account, I killed it.
It's a volume. All right. One last question, Steve, and thanks for your time. There's a lot of trainings out there. It almost seems like everyone has the best program or the best techniques to try to sell you. What, in your opinion, what do you think? I'm not sure if you're familiar with all the trainings that are out there, but what would you think?
Yeah, I don't recommend training? The only one I recommend, and I don't really recommend them with any credibility. Is TIA has a new broker course that they have. That's the only one I recommend. And it's not really going to help you. It teaches the operational side of things. It doesn't teach you heavily on sales, from what I understand. They're the only credentialing program anywhere for freight brokers, and that's the CTB, the Certified Transportation Broker. They're the only one that has that. Apex and the other one. Apex and someone else has another one, but it's more geared towards lean supply chain and all that in terms of certification. But TIA has a freight broker course that's geared to help new brokers enter the industry, but I've never taken it, nor have I ever seen it. That's the only one I think that has a good enough reputation, unless I'm teaching, and I'm not teaching anybody right now. So that's it.
Hey, if you were to teach, I'll sign up, man. Hey, thank you so much for taking my call.
No. See ya. All right, two more callers, and then I'm wrapping this thing up. Luckily, people have dropped off the call because I'm running out of steam. This has been a long show, guys, 2 hours and 41 minutes. 323, you're on the air. 323, phone number, you're on the air. You waited on hold that whole time. 602, you're on the air.
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, what's up, bud?
Yeah, my name is Fred, man. Thanks for taking my call. So,
what's up, buddy?
The protests, I 100% agree with the gentleman that called in earlier that said that the guy came out from the White House and just brushed him off. Like, yeah, he nodded his head a little bit. He gave him, you know, like wanting to be heard and wanting to be listened to. I don't know why that's a goal. Like, that's not a goal at all whatsoever.
To be heard?
Wanting to be heard is not it is not a goal. Like, if my wife was to tell me, well, I feel like I'm not being heard, right? I'd heard her three times before that. It wasn't because she's not being heard. It's because she wants me to do a certain thing and I don't. And there's a disagreement. There's competing interests. Being heard is not a goal. It's not. And that, like, I like, but at the same time, like, I'm not criticizing any of the guys that were there at all whatsoever. I'm not criticizing them at all. And, you know, whether it's, I mean, I agree with the gentleman who called in and said a little civil disobedience is something that, like, for example, I like a guy by the name of Andrew Yang, right? I'm not a Democrat by nature, but I like this guy, Andrew Yang, because he talks about automation. And trucking is on its last legs anyway. And if you talk to a lot of these old school truckers, they'll tell you, oh, well, a robot truck could never do my job. Well, unfortunately, there's $168 billion that says it can. And this is a huge problem that they're trying to solve. So us just saying that, you know, we want our hours of service repealed. I mean, really, at the end of the day, our hours of service being repealed before they just locked it down here on December 15th, right? Most of the Chicago companies anyway had a guy overseas that was cooking your books anyway.
Right.
So we were doing what the fuck we wanted to do anyway. Allegedly, right? So whether we get our hours of service back to where they were before, or whether we get a little bit more leniency.
What do you mean where they were before? They haven't been good for a while. Not since I've driven trucks. And that was a long time ago. The only benefit was we used paper logs. We used to keep several different paper, several different log books. But that's it. But
You,
I'll be honest, you lost me with the Andrew Yang thing, bro. I think I stopped listening. In terms of autonomous trucks, I don't think we have anything to worry about in my lifetime and probably my kids' lifetime, because I guarantee that the first time one of these autonomous trucks are out there driving and you're going to see someone that, you know, says this truck is driven autonomous, and that guy's going to sit there. Look at all the nuclear verdicts and the crap that happened in Louisiana a couple of months ago. You're going to see one guy that says this truck is being driven by a computer, and he's going to be like, oh yeah, and he's going to turn into it. It'll be a fatal accident, and then autonomous is dead. That's my belief.
Yeah,
I don't think it's going to.
We have 4,000 accidents a year as it is.
Right.
I'm telling you right now they're pulling out of California, and they're delivering with autonomous trucks right now currently. I've seen them.
Not out of California. They're doing it Arizona to Texas and then the Midwest, but not out of California that I know of. They're running direct lanes right now out of who is it? TruSimple for UPS.
TruSimple, yeah.
But again, it's level four shit, so it's not fully autonomous either. It's just like, you know, cruise control. It's like a Tesla. You know what I mean? Teslas are even a little bit further advanced.
Keyword that you said that I know of, right? Because Too Simple is going to California. We just had a robot truck take a fucking load all the way to fucking PA from California, bro.
That didn't just happen. That happened a couple of months ago, and that company's out of business. But go ahead. So yeah, the company that did that, the load of butter. Yeah, that company's out of business.
It doesn't matter if they're out of business. There's tons of companies that are out of business that somebody took a business model and said and redid it. I'm telling you. The gospel truth.
That's another thing I'm willing to put money on. I don't think autonomous is going to replace truck drivers during my lifetime. I really don't think so. And I appreciate the call. You know, I figure I got another 30 years before I get out of this industry in some capacity. It's not going to happen in 30 years. You know, that's just my belief, and I appreciate it. But I got to wrap up the show, dude. I'm running out of steam. Thank you, bro.
It's happening every day, bro.
Yeah, maybe. Who knows? best of luck to you.
Stay safe on the road.
People
say, oh, men will never walk on the moon, too.
And well, that's different. But all right, best of luck to you. All right, I gotta end this, guys. I'm getting I'm running out of steam. This Freight and Whiskey is a good show, right? I think we got some here. I think this is a good one. I'm not doing this for 3 hours next week. That's damn straight. Jose Contreras said, hang up on this ill-informed Democrat. Read a headline from CNN, didn't research it, and ran with it like a jackass. It's funny because those articles have been going around lately. I have seen them pop up about that butter load that went. That company's out of business. Starsky's out of business. There's another one that went out of business as well. It keeps happening. But yeah, man, this is. I think this was a good show. I really hope that some people learn something. Some people may not like me even more. Who knows? I don't care. I hope it was a good idea. And you know, I'll do it probably once a week because I'll be honest. The whiskey, I drank more than I wanted to. But it's been 3 hours, so whatever. Contreras said, nice one liner, bro. Man on the Moon really adds to you. That's a good song. I don't have that song. Anyway, I apologize. I didn't get to all the callers. We were busy today. Next time I'll make sure I do a longer show so that we're able to handle the amount of callers and all that. And hopefully the protests and all that stuff are done and everyone is able to get along and get together. Justin Schribner said this like a redneck saying he's only helping the goat get out of the fence. I don't even know what that means. I think I'm done. All right, guys. We'll see you later. Make sure you tune in for 2 o'clock Eastern time. Every single day I have my live show. May Carolina wants to do a live show. Let's do it. See you later.